Hi, welcome everybody. Today is February 18th, and it is the ninth lecture of this year. And tonight we're calling it The Majesty of Vilna, Life and Times of the Vilna Gaon. I should say, like, now, a lot of the material I get from Rabbi Irons. Rabbi Irons is a Rosh Kollel in Detroit. He gives history classes. And one of the things he does is unbelievable is he does all the research. So a lot of things that we have come from Sfarim, come from the prefixes of Sfarim, Shais and Tshuvas of Sfarim. And he just, based on that information, you know, he makes his the lesson. So I take a lot from his, a lot from the source material. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon, there was nobody like the Vilna Gaon that we had in recent times. He was a throwback. He is compared to in history, some say, we'll see some of the sources. Was he a throwback to Tanayim or Amoraim? Some say he was a throwback to Gaonim. Some say the Rashba. You know, like if he's only the Rashba, which he was a Rishon, was after the time of Rashi, and you can only imagine what a Tana and Amor is. So one thing I hope to do tonight is go through a lot, just try to get an idea of what the Vilna Gaon knew. You know, like, if you just, you know, okay, he knew a lot. He knew, you know, a lot. But just to get an idea of how much he knew, and people that knew a lot, what did they say that the Vilna Gaon knew? And, okay, so the first few are like just quotes from the Gedolim of his day. This is a quote from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in one of his Sfarim. And this is, I guess, when they're quoting they're talking about the Vilna Gaon, or with any Gadol, they would give a preface, they would describe him. He says, he's the unequaled, holy and pure chassid, the light of Israel, he who embodies all areas of wisdom, astute and knowledgeable, who possesses 10 measures in the science of Kabbalah, our master, Rabbi Eliyahu, may Hashem protect him, whose praises are known throughout the entire country of Poland and in Berlin and Lisa, that's where he was. Wherever this chassid traveled, they recount his extraordinary accomplishments. So that's like, okay, and now he talks, this is just a paragraph of who the Vilna Gaon was. We have also from the Ksav Kabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, the saintly world renowned Gaon, who has no equal on earth, an angel of the Lord of hosts, the awesome Gaon, who was like one of the early authorities, our master, Eliyahu of Vilna, etc. Another one from Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, who is the author of the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael is a Mishnayis, a work on Mishnayis, but in his work on Mishnayis, he has so many other things. And he writes about the Vilna Gaon. Our holy master's appearance was like that of a heavenly angel, the master of the entire diaspora. Our master Eliyahu of Vilna, before whom all knees of the Torah scholars, large and small, bent. It was not for naught that he was called throughout the entire diaspora as the Gaon. Even to today, if you were just to mention the Gaon says, everybody knows you're talking about the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so, I mean, this is with 200, you know, he died in 1797, so we're over 200 years later. He is the Gaon. Without any need of further explanation, as if a heavenly voice made the announcement, for it was true and correct, as if he was one of the early Gaonim. Another one, from Aryeh Leib Zuntz. Since the time of the Gaonim, no one of such stature, a person who knew the entire Torah, the revealed in the esoteric, like a set table has arisen. From the times of Rabban Savroi came after the Amorayim. It's like if you give him like a 50, 70 year period of history, after the Amoraian period, probably around in the 500s. And for 70 years, basically what they did is they edited the Gemara, the Bavli, and they, you know, wrote copies that the whole world should have it. So from the times of the Rabban Savroi and the Gaonim, which the next 500 years would be our Gaonic period. No such great eshkol. Now, a person who embodies everything. So eshkol is like a contraction of ish shahakol bo. Eshkol means like an eshkol of grapes, like a cluster of grapes. But it's referring to somebody who's ish shahakol bo, has arisen. Okay, this is again another gadol. Now, this Rav Menachem Mendel Shklov was one of his talmidim. And I believe that Rav Menachem Mendel, he ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. But again, the Vilna Gaon died in 1797. And then sometime later, many of his talmidim moved to Eretz Yisrael. They first moved to Sfat. And then in 1836, there was an earthquake in Sfat. And the Talmidei Agra, they said the reason why the earthquake happened was because that they chose Sfat over Yerushalayim. Mm. That's the way they interpreted it. And then they moved to Yerushalayim. And they was the first main Ashkenazic Yishuv. And the reason why there was no Ashkenazic, it was Sephardim there. And the reason why there was no Ashkenazic real Yishuv was because in 1700, which we discussed, there was Rav Yehuda HaChassid led a group of 1,000 people from Europe to Israel, and it was a disaster. Shortly after he got there, he died, and the money was used up, and the Ashkenazi community owed a lot of money to the Arabs. So anytime an Ashkenazi Jew would come, they'd want him to pay $1 million that the last Ashkenazi community left. So they would come, they would hide themselves. So I guess somehow 130 years later, in 1836 or whatever, they were able to get in without having to pay back that loan. And they started the Jewish community in Yerushalayim, the Ashkenazi Jewish community. And even to today, in Yerushalayim, Minag Hagra is the halacha. More often than not, Minag Hagra is like supreme, and that's because of the Talmidim. So Menachem Mendel of Shklov was one of his Talmidim, and he writes, if a person were to live 1,000 years, he wouldn't be able to fathom the depths of the Gaon's nature. Again, he is himself a Gaon. So just as it's impossible to calculate the amount of drops in the ocean. It is well known that his intelligence, his profundity, and his fear of heaven was way and above those of his generation and many generations before him. This is from Yitzchak Isaac Kamarna. I arranged the Tosefta. He's writing. I arranged the Tosefta according to the arrangement of the Gaon Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, of blessed memory, who refined it like well sifted flour. I only took issue with him on various points as a disputation of love, for from the time of our master, the Rambam, no one has arisen with such amazing knowledge of the two Talmuds and the entire oral Torah, entirely arranged and fluent in his mouth. May the soul be bound in the soul of life, having enlightened our eyes. Okay, this is now, we're going to a little bit of his history. Now you'll see how he made his start. And this comes from his two sons, one is Reb Avram and Reb Leib. They wrote a preface to the Gaon's commentary to the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim. So the Gra made a commentary, and on his commentary, this is the preface. Today, you'll find the Gra's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't bring one here, but if you open a big Shulchan, it's usually big, and you know, and you have the Ramah and the Machaber, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, and the Ramah on top, and then all the way down somewhere, you usually find like two lines, is the Vilna Gaon. But in those two lines, it's like amazing what he just like puts in there. And they wrote like this. Okay, he says over here that he was born in 1720, okay? And he only studied under a teacher only till the age of six. Okay, at the age of six and a half, he gave a chiluk. They invited him to shul, and he gets up in shul. He's 6.5 years old, and he gives a gemara shir. The rabbi, was it Reb Heschel? Hold on, the rabbi. Rav Yeshua Heschel gave up and said, this is amazing, this is unbelievable. Look at this, a 6.5-year-old child, and look what he gave. So some of the members in the congregation said, big deal, look, he has good memory. His father taught him, and he was able to spit it back. Okay, you know, it's okay, it's good, but it's not like, you know. So the rabbi said, let me show you something special. Okay, let's see. He took the Vilna Gaon, he sat him down, he says, okay, here's the Gemara. I want you to think through this a little further. Okay? He gave him an hour, and then he says, all right, what do you got? And then the Vilna Gaon on the same sugya says, okay, I got on this thing is I have a few more questions. 1, 2, 3, he gave about a whole bunch of questions. I don't know if it was 5 questions, 20 questions, whatever. And then with one yesod, one point, he was able to answer all 5 questions. 6.5. At that point, then everybody said, all right, you got us. That's it, you know. And that's what happened. He then thought through the subject, about an hour, pointed out other difficulties, which he resolved with a single innovative approach. The scholars who heard this were astounded. They kissed and hugged him, and they said, there's no wise discerning person like him. Okay, that was his start, 6.5. And now he's 9. Well, you can imagine what happened at 9 years old. Okay, he lived like 1/2 of more of his, he lived 50% more of his life at 9, okay. So, again, he accomplished much in the Pesukim and Mishnah and Gemara. Okay, then he says, this is all part of the preface. This is what his kids wrote. He said that there was a spirit within him awakened and said, to whom are these secrets of the Torah addressed? All is found in the work Eitz Chaim of Rav Chaim Vital. This is Kabbalah. This is the... even if they're hidden from the eyes of the entire humanity, Hashem will make them visible to you. In addition, you'll see that you'll easily understand the most difficult areas of the Gemara. Don't think your efforts will not bear fruit. He immediately got a hold of various exoteric and esoteric works, Nigla and Nistar, and learned through the entire corpus of Eitz Chaim within 1/2 year. Okay, and what happened?
The entire what happened?
Everything. You know, all the Nigla, Nistar, he went through Kabbalah, whatever that. Within 1/2 year, he was done with that, and the other Mefarshim as well. Okay, so now he reaches,
You seem to see the way Hashem creates the world and humanity, that he seems to place these extremely unique children on earth. And it doesn't matter, it's like a chesed to all the nations, because every field has, like Mozart was raving genius at 6 years old, writing operas already.
Right, okay.
It seems like it's just part of like how Hashem does it, and they're very dispersed and very few.
Right, so there's a chazal like that Hashem knows is only very few special neshamas.
I'm not calling those.
I'm talking about just Gedolim, right? And he places them just at the right time when they need it.
But he
just
does that amongst the Goyim with inventions.
Could be,
and stuff.
Could be. Okay, yeah. And a Hanami.
Lahavdil.
Sure, Lahavdil. But again, with us for sure, he put Rashi just when we needed Rashi. And he put the Rambam and the Gra. These are 3, examples of just, you're right, 100%.
And the rest of us benefit from those.
Correct. 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 Yeah, that's it. Okay, now he's 13. What happened at the age of 13? It says one thing is he didn't look beyond his 4 cubits. And now he decided that he's going to be a chassid, but not the chassid in the mold of the... Right, the chassid, the Baal Shem Tov, with the being a chassid in terms of joy serving Hashem. Although it is known that Vilna Gaon was a very happy and a very joyous person. Very joyous. But he was an ascetic, which means he just, that's it. He would take very little from the pleasures of this world. And when did he start? He started this already when he was 13. Small dried bread, soaked in water. Okay, his nights were like days. And again, this is all we get from the sons. He would stay up. He only slept for 2 hours a day. And each of the times he slept, it was only 1/2 hour at a shot. In other words, he wouldn't sleep more than 1/2 hour at a time period. And, a total in 4 times, 3 times during the night, 1 time during the day. That was his sleeping schedule. Okay, so here you already have somebody who's a genius beyond genius, and then he's not like he's taking it easy, you know. People who are genius beyond genius, you know, they just could sit down with their feet up and they could, you know, do circles about everybody. But no, the Vilna Gaon, besides being the genius what he was, his amelus, his work, his effort into the Torah is truly amazing. He never slept more than 2 hours in any one 24-hour period. He never slept more than a half an hour at any one time. And during that time, his lips were moving. Three, okay. In addition, he designed strategies to combat the Yetzer Hara. If he would say that he'd want to eat something, so he would say, you know, and be machazik himself and trick himself. He says, what good is that? I don't need that. He would say that it wasn't something of true benefit. He bent the shoulders to bear the pain of starvation, the scuffing, and waking from sleep. Let's make plans, you know, havan is chachmalo, let's be smart and fight the Yetzer Hara. And he did this in order that he serve Hashem with joy and gladness of the heart throughout his life. And even though he deprived himself physically, but he was a very, very happy person. We'll see as we go on. Okay, this comes from Sefer HaKol Ksav L'Chaim. This is probably one of his Talmidim. Our master, Reb Chaim of Volozhin, said, okay, so he's a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was the number one student of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so Vilna Gaon had 50, 60 Talmidim of note, and the number one of them all was Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin is going to be the one who's going to start the yeshiva. He's going to open up a yeshiva, the Volozhin Yeshiva. Volozhin Yeshiva is known as the Aim High Yeshivas, the mother of all yeshivas, because the structure, the way he set up the yeshiva, is the way all of our yeshivas are today. All Lithuanian-style yeshivas all come from the Volozhin Yeshiva. Reb Chaim Volozhin had all these students, Talmidim, and eventually they went out to open up other yeshivas. So all the yeshivas today can trace their ways back to the Volozhin Yeshiva.
Chaim of Volozhin asked the Vilna Gaon that he could open the yeshiva, and he refused to allow him to do it initially until he was sure that he would be the right person to open it. But he refused to allow him to open the yeshiva until finally he let him do it.
Okay, correct. Correct. The way I heard the story was, Reb Chaim Volozhin once came to the Gra, and he said, I have such a great idea, let's make yeshiva. And he just was excited, and he told him his idea, and the Gra didn't say anything. So Reb Chaim Volozhin realized, okay, the Gra's not saying, hey, great idea, go for it. So he went back and he started thinking through everything that he said to the Vilna Gaon, and he couldn't think of anything wrong, like what's wrong with my idea. So he went back a second time to the Gra, and he said to the Vilna Gaon, I presented it to you, you know, about making this yeshiva, and this is the type, this is my idea. What does Rebbe think about it? What does the Vilna Gaon think about it? The Vilna Gaon says, I think it was a great idea. I think it's a great idea, you should do it. However, the first time you came to me with certain amount of excitement or enthusiasm, and I wasn't sure it was all coming from the right source. But now that I see that you're doing it level-headed, I think it's, absolutely, I think you should go on. He didn't open it up until after the Vilna Gaon passed away. I think it was opened up in, 1810, I think, 1809. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon again passed away in 1797. Okay, so now we're going to, there's a way of figuring out what the Gra knew based on what somebody else knew. Because this is what the HaKol Ksav L'Chaim writes that he heard from his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Volozhin, who was the number one student of the Vilna Gaon. You see, Reb Chaim Volozhin had a brother, Reb Zalman of Volozhin. Reb Zalman of Volozhin was greater than Reb Chaim Volozhin. He knew more, he was a bigger Gaon expert in everything. The only thing is Reb Zalman, his brother, passed away when he was 33. So they're telling you this is what he knew, what Reb Zalman achieved before his death at 33, was already mastered by the Gra when he was only 13. Mm. Okay? And then it goes, the only difference is that the plus all the asceticism, everybody knew Reb Chaim was, Reb Zalman, both Zalmans. Reb Zalman, the Belozhin was an ascetic. And he was, you know, fasted, and he was, you know, didn't partake from this world in terms of Gashmias. But the Gra, nobody knew. Gra was able to hide everything much better. Okay, and he just goes on and answers verbatim all of the Talmud Safri, Sefrat, Tosefta, Midrashim, Rambam, and Tor. Okay, that's just everything he knew. They once said to the Vilna Gaon, I'm sorry, they once said to Reb Chaim Volozhin, his greatest student, they said, this is the way I heard the story, they said, you know, your Bekiyas is like the Vilna Gaon. And he started shaking Reb Chaim Volozhin. What? You cannot say that. Now, Bekiyas means you know where things are, like, you know what's written in this Masechta, that Masechta, and everything. Okay, I understand the depth, the Havana, the understanding, the Gra is greater, but Bekiyas is Bekiyas, right? You know the Gemara, you don't know the Gemara. So Reb Chaim Volozhin said, no, you don't understand. He says, let's say if I were to go to Ashrei, right? Everybody knows Ashrei, right? What if I would say, what's the word before Ve'ezuz? Right? No, you know Ve'ezuz or Asach. I know the word afterwards because everybody, he says, the Vilna Gaon knew everything backwards and forwards. So if you, what's the word before Ve'ezuz, he would be able to know that too. He says the different level. We'll see also how he tested somebody on Bekiyas. But that was the okay. Okay, this is another great story. This comes from the Reb Chaim Volozhin. He was fluent, child prodigy of Vilna. He was fluent in the text of the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah means the Sefer of Creations. Now, what ended up happening is by the time of Vilna in the 1700s, there were like 10 different versions of the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is some sort of a Sefer that if you knew the makeup of words and Hashem's names, you could create things. Sefer Yetzirah. Like the world was created with the Torah and different words of Hashem, and like that's the blueprint of the world, if I understand it correctly. He had adopted a clear version of the text with awesome depth. I know this, for I had presented to him 10 different versions of the Sefer Yetzirah. This is Reb Chaim Volozhin going to the Vilna Gaon, and he told me that the version that he had adopted was the same as the Arizal. He had only added one thing to the Arizal's version, which he felt was really a restoration of the original text. Not that he didn't think he argued with the Arizal, but in the Arizal's text, a mistake got in there, and he says, no, I think that even the Arizal would agree with this. Okay? An error had been made in the printing. Okay, so what happened? I said to him, this is like the next level here. I said to him that if that's the case, it wouldn't be a greater extraordinary feat to create a golem. He replied, well, I actually once began to create a golem, but while I was in the midst of making it, an image passed over my head and I refrained from making it anymore. I don't know if it was some sort of a tuma image or whatever, something, he got some message not to do it. I said to myself that probably heaven prevented me because of my young age. I asked him how old was he at the time when he replied, it was before he was 13 years old.
Huh? He wanted a playmate and he made a goal.
Right, he wanted a bar mitzvah gift, you know.
Well, no, he said it was before his bar mitzvah.
It was before his bar mitzvah. He wasn't bar mitzvah. So he said maybe that's because he wasn't bar mitzvah yet, maybe that's why they stopped him in Shemayim. Something, some sort of image, some sort of thought or image came to his mind and he stopped. I guess you could always ask, why didn't he do it when he was adult? I don't know, maybe he felt it was child's play. I don't know, it's like I'm kidding. Well, but I guess he felt once it wasn't proper, so he never pursued it. Or did he?
Not child's play. I don't think he was
I'm kidding. So, but basically, you just get an idea of what the Vilna Gaon was. He told Reb Chaim Volozhin he started to make a Golem, but he felt in Shemayim he did not want him to do it.
What is your definition of what that is they made? I mean, we hear about it, we don't really know. Do you have a theory?
No. Just as it's a person, the outline form of a clay structure of a person. Right, and somehow
energy
like
energy into it, life into
right.
it.
Right, so you'd have to get some sort of neshama into this body that's formed by the Sefer Yetzirah.
Is there empirical proof of these, or we just have it passed down?
And the golem of the Maral is. Most likely, it was no goal. It was just a bunch of.
He says
there's
no goal.
Now, nothing here that he, but just, you know, looking back.
It's a pretty weird thing.
It's like the stories about the golem of the Maral was most likely never happened. Just that somebody later attributed stories and just attributed it to the Maral. Mm. The Maral did other unbelievable things. The golem was not.
I mean, these are pretty recent history in the big picture of things,
right.
And we don't associate these.
Right.
And you said it was a couple thousand years ago, we have talking donkey and this and that and the other thing, but.
I mean, you know, Maral was relatively recent,
right.
1500s. We know we have a lot of information.
But we know there's such things as ghosts and demons and spirits, and if they could. Tap into whatever they tapped into.
Okay, but that goes probably under black magic and stuff, or
right.
You know, Ruchni has Tumma forces and stuff.
There's things out there that are unexplainable.
Yeah. Right. For us at least, but
right.
Okay. What else happened here? Okay. Now this is what his life. He led a very, very holy life. More than 50 years of life. We did this. He slept no more than a half an hour. Even when he was frail, he didn't stop, and he would just sleep a short time, force himself with the power of a lion, stood up, washed his hands, made the morning's blessings with joy and indescribably intense love. Afterwards, he would stand on his feet from midnight till daylight, more than 8 hours, and study Gemara and poskim with a loud, sweet but awesome voice that would penetrate the fire of Torah. I think he would want to stand. So he shouldn't fall asleep. That's why. Right before sunrise, he would wash his hands in preparation for the morning prayers. I would stand and pray, articulating every word clearly with a sweet voice and a gentle tune. Anyone who would hear him pray, even once, be it on a weekday or Shabbos, would feel himself inspired with the spirit of true knowledge and fear of Hashem that would last for a year or two. Even if someone's heart would be as hard as stone, it would soften like wax from the fire of his kavanah. With which he put into every word of the siddur and would express every syllable with a clear tone and a strong spirit. After the prayers, he would recite a section of the parsha. He would do Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum. Every word of the Torah that he would utter would come out like a clear light from his holy and pure mouth. After eating his portion of bread in the morning, he would sleep. By the way, in terms of just reading Shnayim Mikra V'Yechad Targum, to the end of his life, he was able to get everything from the Chumash. From Sukkim, all the secrets, it was all open to him. So all he would do all day is he would just read the Chumash. And in his mind would lead him to every Gemara, every Medrash, every Kabbalah, everything was all there from the Chumash. And that's what was said, that towards the end of his life, that's all he had, was a Chumash. I think I heard somewhere, I didn't see this written, but I think it said somewhere that he also had a Mesillas Yesharim. So he had a Chumash and a Mesillas Yesharim, but the Chumash, that's how he did all. That's how he would do all his learning. After eating, he would sleep for another half an hour. He would then wake up from his sleep as if a king was standing before him and wake him. He would get up with great haste and with fear and trepidation, and would immediately sit and learn the entire day until late afternoon. Mincha. Again, this came from Reb Avram, his son, and the work of Saras Eliyahu. He who didn't witness the sanctity of his Torah and his divine service, the purity of his asceticism, piety and humility, never beheld true light. That's again from the Reb Chaim Volozhin. Rabbi Yoel of Amislav told me, this is again Rechaim Volozhin, heard from Rabbi Yoel of Amislav. Yes, I'm asked to the Goyim concerning his asceticism. In other words, Rabbi Yoel of Amislav wanted to also be an ascetic. He also wanted to be a chassid, not to get from this world and to be, you know, just spiritual and not get any gashmias. And the Gra told him, he replied, if he was stubborn, he would be successful. In other words, you got to really, you know, you're going against the nature. The nature of a person is to eat, you know, want to eat something and, you know, and be, you know, get from this world. So if you're going to be if you're stubborn, you're an auction, you can do it. You know, that's what he said. That's what he said to him. Greater and better than, this is something, a commentary to the Greta Mishlei. So the Mishlei was an ascetic. And yet, he said, greater and better than all the self-infliction suffering is to become engrossed in Torah study and bestowing kindness. Mm-hmm. Torah and Chesed, that's more important. That does more to a person than refraining from any type of asceticism. Mm-hmm. Until one's dying day, a person...
True story.
Yeah. Until one dying day, a person needs to endure suffering. Not through fast and self-inflicted torture, but through muzzling his mouth and desires. This is a letter written by the Gra to his wife. This is repentance, and this is the source of all the fruits of the next world. This is more potent than all the fasts and tortures that exist. For every moment that a person muzzles his mouth, he merits a hidden light which no angel or creature can imagine. So again, you want suffering? Don't say Lashon Hara. Just keep that mouth closed. Keep the mouth closed. That's your ticket. That's the ticket. This is going to come from the, okay, Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov. Now, this is what we're about to read is Yisrael of Shklov was the brother of Rav Mendel of Shklov, also a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, also moved to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called Pahas HaShulchan, which was halachos of the laws of Eretz Yisrael. Like Trumas and Maestros, and a lot of what we do today in practice came from the Pasa Shulchan. In his preface, you know, he wanted people to know who his Rebbe was and who gave him his Haskama, who was able to completely describe the Gaon saintliness and piety. He never spoke even one word of idle talk, and never accepted the yoke of public life or the rabbinate or of any occupation that would disturb his learning. He hated unjust gain and would study for extended periods secluded in a house in the forest. He studied Torah under conditions of tremendous deprivation, and in the daytime, he would close the shutters of the room which he studied and would study by candlelight in order that the glances of people shouldn't disturb him. He was a sight. He was a tourist attraction. People, the Gra's learning in the forest in a house. So what would people do? They would come to look in the window. Wow, I got to see the Vilna Gaon learning. So that it doesn't disturb him, he would close the shutters.
How would he support himself?
That was a great question. So basically, at some point, this community decided to support him. We're going to see what happened then. And this is how he conducted himself in his youth. While he studied Torah for his own sake, he would review the entire Babylonian Talmud each and every month throughout his life. So, you know, Daf Yomi, 7 years, how do you call it, you know? Daf Achaydesh, Babli Achaydesh, I guess, I don't know. Like,
I remember somebody saying that Chabad has a minhag of doing the Talmud in a year.
Okay.
But the Daf Yomi came
from... Whoever it is, that means, if you're doing in a year, that means you're doing about 7 blot a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got to get times it by 12 because you want to get it in 1 month. Right? 12 times 7, what? You got 100 blot a day?
No, he said Talmud Rishon.
Oh, okay.
Talmud. So he's got to do 70, 75 blot a day.
No, Talmud Rishon is shorter. Talmud Rishon is shorter.
Okay. Sham is much shorter. Right?
Much shorter.
And this is talking about, you asked me, Yehuda, you asked me about the, how did he get support? Okay. The following incident, this is again from Yisrael of Shklov. Okay? He said, the following incident occurred in his great and populous city, Vilna. The Holy Community agreed to grant him a fixed allotment every week in which to support his family. There was a certain shamish through whom the Holy Community would send the needed funds. The shamish, however, took the money for himself and didn't deliver it. This lasted for many years. But the Gaon didn't tell us so. He endured such deprivation that his saintly wife and children were on the brink of starvation. When she finally came to him and told her to go with her small children to the neighbors at mealtime, as it was normal for children to ask for food when they see others eating. And they will provide for them. He didn't want to disclose the fact that he no longer received communal support because of his complete trust in Hashem and his concern about causing another person to be shamed. The situation lasted until the Shamash took ill and was on his deathbed. He then publicly admitted he had not given the guy his needed support, which had been entrusted in his hands, whereupon the Shamash died. For this alone, one would be allowed to call our master a chassid and a kaddish. One cannot begin to recount, and then he goes on to something else. One cannot begin to recount and the toil and effort he expended in studying our Holy Torah. He would review each chapter and tractate hundreds and thousands of times. While he was young, he would study in the bitter cold of winter in a room which was unheated, and at other times he would place his feet in a basin of cold water to prevent himself from falling asleep.
Yes. The Shamash kept the money, or the Shamash just didn't have it to bid?
Kept the money. Didn't give it to him. I guess he had his own challenges. That he was poor, he needed the money, and nobody, you know. Okay, extremely crucial for a person to cherish the study of Torah, for each word which he studies is a separate mitzvah, and is part of the general mitzvah of learning Torah, which is equal to all the other mitzvahs. So every word, right? Every word of Torah is 613 mitzvahs. And that's, each word is equal to all the mitzvahs, so just do the math. And this is a Vilna Gaon, Sefer Shnos Eliyahu. Right, many hundreds of them, okay. Okay, there's a story where Chaim Volozhin said, now again, you see in his conversations with other people where everything was. Chaim Volozhin came before the Gaon at the age of 19, so you see where Chaim Volozhin was. It was at the height of his acuity, clarity of thought, immense diligence, and prodigious memory. He told the Gaon, I've already reviewed Seder Moed. Okay, so we're talking already Shabbos, Seiravin, all the way through Moed Katan, 19 times. But it still isn't completely clear to me. So what did the Vilna Gaon say? The Gaon replied, there's no limit to reviewing. You should review the material throughout your entire life. Okay, that was from the Chaim. Now there's the story, which is very famous. We know a lot from Maseches Sukkah based on this story. The Gra on right, it was happened to have been during Sukkot. He told all of his students, become an expert in one Masechta. And this way, wherever you go, you have that Masechta, you'll always be able to review. You know, if you're on the road, you're in a dark room, or wherever it is, you'll always have that Masechta. And one of his students decided, I'm going to do that. And he went ahead and he studied it again and again, and he felt he knew it. He felt he knew it verbatim. And he had others test him, and he knew it. So on Chalamai Sukkos, while the greats were sitting before the master, this rabbi came before the master and told him that he studied the tractate Sukkah, and he knew it by heart. So the Gra said, do you want me to ask you something of the tractate? You want me to ask you, okay? You know the Masechta by heart, right? Let me ask you something. He says, of course, I know it already by heart. So the Gra then asked him something for which the rabbi had no answer. He asked him, how many times in this tractate does Reb Meir disagree with Reb Yehuda? How many times does Reb Akiva disagree with Reb Tarfon? Rabba with Reb Yosef, Abai with Rabba, Reb Papa and Reb Huna Bered the Rab, Yeshua. All the different Tanayim and Amorayim. Afterwards, our master opened his holy mouth and counted them as one counts pearls and dissected the entire Masechta and recounted how many times each and every Tana and Amora disagreed and how many times the Halacha is according to this one and that one. And how many separate subjects and opinions there existed. That's called reviewing a Masechta. He went further. He recounted the number of laws gleaned from the Tosefta and the Talmud Yerushalmi. All told, there are 85 invalid sukkahs mentioned. And he said, how do you know this? Because it's equal to the numerical value of the word sukkah without the vav. Samach, kuf, and hey is 85. So in the Masechta, there are 85 pasul sukkahs. The sum total of cases of valid sukkahs mentioned in the Talmud and the Tosefta and Talmud Yerushalmi come out to be 91. to equal to the numerical value of the word sukkah with a vav. Mm. So sam of vav, kuf and hey is 91, and there are 91 kosher sukkahs. That's how we know this part from the Gra of this person that said test me. This is handling the expertise with the entire thing. This is, and he could have done this with anything and everybody. And this is again Yisrael Shlub, preface to the Pasa Shulchan. Go on. I just want to see if this is okay. He wouldn't make any changes unless he was absolutely sure and he had all these proofs. When he would arrive at the truth of a of something, his face would just shine.
That was textual speaking, right?
Huh? Yeah.
That was textual.
Right. Oh, he wouldn't change
the
text.
He tried to make other changes that didn't work, right?
Right. But by the way, one of the changes that he did make is until the Gra came about, everybody was davening Rabbeinu Tam. We were all like Satmar, what is today, in terms of davening Mincha very late, 72 minutes. And the Gra went through all the opinions, and he said, you know what? The other opinion is the Magen Avraham is not the they said, so it became the Gra. And that was another one of his revolutions in terms of halacha. He would greet everybody with joy. And he says on Simchas Torah, he would clap his hands and jump and dance. When the Torah was out on Simchas Torah, he was so jumping and so excited. And then when the Torah went back after Hakafas, he was only very happy. But while the Torah was out, he was super very happy. That's the Sefer Maaser Rav, and all the things on what the Vilna Gaon did. And Shavuos, he would also be very happy. Okay, this is what, a little bit from the next world, from the spiritual world. This comes from Reb Chaim Volozhin. The most outstanding feature, his strength and awesomeness, was that he didn't allow himself to enjoy the fruits of Torah except through tremendous efforts that he expended using his wisdom, knowledge, and genius. Even though they wanted to impart knowledge to him without having him first toil and reach exhaustion, he didn't pay any attention to their offers. I heard directly from his holy mouth that on many occasions, many magidim, and again, the Reb Yosef Cairo had a magid, and the Mesillas Yesharim had a magid, and the one who led the Hasidic movement. What's his name?
Magid
of Metzert is the one before.
Baal
Shem Tov? Thank you. Baal Shem Tov had a magid. Many people have seen that having a magid was not so on. It was uncommon, but people had. But a magid is a spiritual being, a force that would come. The magid of the Baal Shem Tov was. He was one of the Nevi'im. He was the Rebbe of
one of the kings.
Yeah. So they had Magidim, different, but they came to the Vilna Gaon. They wanted to teach him things, but he said no. Many Magidim came from heaven, came to him asking questions. That they impart to him secrets of Torah without having to expend any effort. He paid absolutely no attention to them. One particular Maga was extremely insistent. Despite this, he paid no attention. He said, I don't want that my comprehension of the Torah of Hashem should become through any medium whatsoever. My eyes are raised only to him, to receive that which he desires to reveal and impart to me from my allotted portion of Torah through the efforts that I expend by working to capacity. He, may he be blessed, will give me the wisdom, knowledge, and discernment directly from his mouth so that my heart will understand and my kidneys will be like two fountains of insights so that I will know that I have found favor in his eyes. So even though Magidim came to, they wanted the privilege of giving the Gra, things, he wouldn't accept it from them. He used to say, the essential thing is that a person comprehends through his own efforts, He himself is, so in, the inference is, basically I'm just skipping here, the inference is from his holy words, this is the, again, the Chaim Volozhin saying from the Gra, that he himself experienced Aliyas Neshama every single night from the time he reached 13. In other words, his Neshama would go up, and in while he was sleeping, they would teach his Neshama things. He would have connection. He used to often say that Hashem created whole concepts of sleep in order to facilitate Aliyas Neshama, to allow a person to comprehend that which was beyond his capacity. Keep in mind, he only slept 2 hours a day, so he didn't have too much time to get. But despite his, due to the fact that he was connected to his body, it's, his body served as a barrier. And therefore, unless a person sleeps, while he is asleep, and the neshama is apart from his body, he's clothed in a higher spiritual garment. The Gra would have Aliyas Neshama without any yichudim, special connection. Sometimes you need Aliyas Neshama, you have to be thinking certain things. The Vilna Gaon, the Chaim Volozhin said the Gra did not have to have special thoughts, and he had that. He said the Torah demands you research and investigate and ask Hashem. You have to daven. I want to get to a certain slide. Okay, because I'm just running out of time. Okay, this is also something very just towards the end of his life. He said, "I cannot." This is a one of his students that I cannot restrain myself from relating a true and amazing story which I heard from the holy source, distinguished disciple of our of the Gra, my dear friend, Pius Reb Nachum Mendel. Okay, we spoke. He was the who moved to Eretz Yisrael. The author of the 10 holy works of Kabbalah, which are still in manuscript. This incident occurred while he was attending our master's Gaon of blessed memory, who was then residing in Sirhiah. So Gra was in the city of Sirhiah. Because at that time he was finishing his commentary on Shir HaShirim. Okay? And Reb Mendel was the one who he was dictating it from, too. The Gaon was very elated and rejoiced in the true joy of his holy Torah. He called his Mechutin, a great Torah scholar, the Rav of Sirhiah, and the Gaon directed him to lock the doors to his room, shutters were closed, he lit candles. When he completed writing down the last words of his commentary, the Gaon lifted his eyes to Hashem, and with tremendous dveikus, he blessed and thanked his great name. He said, he thanked Hashem for having given him the merit of comprehending the light of the entire Torah, the esoteric and non-esoteric. He stated that all the branches of knowledge are necessary to understand the Holy Torah and are included in it, and that he knew them thoroughly. He enumerated the science of algebra, trigonometry, geometry, or engineering, and music. He had particular praise for the science of music. He said that the bulk of the reasoning of the Torah and the secrets of the... he had particular praise for the science of music and said that the bulk of reasoning of the Torah, the secrets of the songs of the Levites, and the secrets of Tikkuni HaZohar are impossible to comprehend without it. Somehow the music, the science of music, because of its sweetness, people could literally die as their souls leave their bodies to embrace this ritual world. Through its secrets, which are embedded in the hidden Torah, they could revive the dead. He said that Moshe brought down many melodies and many meters from Har Sinai. The others are combinations. He then went on. He explained the nature of various sciences. He said that he thoroughly understood them in their totality. Regarding medicine, however, he stated he knew anatomy and all that is related to it, but he did not gain expertise in practical pharmacology because the saintly father of blessed memory forbade him to study under the physicians to gain the requisite knowledge. Why? He had argued that if he possessed such medical expertise, he would be duty-bound to attend those of the needs of critical patients. So he wouldn't be able to learn. So don't learn it, because otherwise you're going to have to become a doctor. Regarding sorcery, the Gaon was knowledgeable. Philosophy, he said he was only able to extract two things of value. Seven kochos, he said he knew and blessed Hashem the entire Torah, just as it was given on Sinai. Prophets and holy writings, Mishnah, the rest of the oral law is embedded in his holy words. Kabbalah, he had removed any impurities and corrected errors that crept in. He corrected the text and bringing compelling proofs and clear, powerful as the sun. This is what he said. He said, this is all at the speech there. He said there are 620 pillars of light. Neither their names or places have been revealed. He attained comprehension of their names and their places in the written Torah. He had not revealed this to anybody. So they said, so tell us, give us a hint, give us something. He said, no, because he said he was saving it for his first drasha in the world to come. There is just, I just want to get to this. There was, this is another great, just the one great story after another. The following was told to me by one of the Gaon's disciples who heard it directly from the Holy Mouth. Once on the first day of Pesach, two of his distinguished disciples were sitting before him. Since they were well aware of his holy custom to be unusually elated and joyful on Yom Tov, they were taken aback that he did not display the same measure of happiness. They asked him directly. They pressed him. You're forcing me to reveal a thing which I normally would not. It is only because I wish to fulfill the dictum, one should unburden your worries to others. He said, last night, Eliyahu. Now, they're not sure, but it's probably Elio and Navi, but whom they mentioned, okay, came to me and revealed subjects, novel ideas that were awesome beyond belief. Regarding the 12-letter name of Hashem, and it pertains to the verse, go up the path to the south Israel, Aluba Negev, that's in by the Meraglim. When I stood up in the morning because of my unbounded joy, I couldn't restrain myself, and I began to think of them before I made the bracha over the Berachas HaTorah. I was punished, for I immediately totally forgot it all. His father, okay, he holds that you're not allowed to think in learning without the bracha. The disciples comforted him and blessed him that Hashem should return him his loss. After some time, one of them asked him if it came back to him, and he replied, thank God it was revealed to me for a second time. It consisted of 2,260 different interpretations. Just as I know why it was hidden from me, so do I know why it was returned. He told me, through one of the interpretations, I know all of the functions of each creature in each and every organ. That was just one of the 2,000. Right, 2,200. What makes it even more unusual was that this came to him naturally without any special kavanas. Okay, then he says he had Aliyah Neshama every single night from the time he reached spiritual maturity, as he said above, but it just gets better. He says, regarding revelations in the waking hours, was he able, did he have things when he was awake? That's even more, you know, okay, when the neshama is separated from the body, that's one thing. But when he was awake, did he have this? So he says, however, I didn't know for sure. And then what happened is as follows. There was a man, my father and witness is my witness that I heard this directly from his holy mouth. There lived in Vilna a man who dreamt dreams, awesome dreams that shocked all those that heard him. This is because he would relate to a person conversations and actions which he had taken place in the person's own bedroom. The populace was frightened by this man. I don't even know if he was Jewish. And he was brought before the Gaon. The man said to him, our master, please give me permission to tell you something. It will be... Okay, so as he said to the Gaon, can I tell you something that happened? The man who had these dreams was telling something of the Gra. He says, it would be 2 weeks this Thursday when you were sitting in this place and you were machadesh on Parshas Hazinu on this and that verse, he said, the pasuk. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was sitting at your right and the Arizal was on your left. Our master was awestruck. How is it humanly possible for anyone to know this, he said. I remember that right beforehand I had sent my attendant out of the house. Our master of blessed memory told him, it is true that at the time I had come up with awesome insights. And as he was saying this over, his face greatly shone. It would seem that he was truly awesome. They were truly awesome and lofty secrets, because he was thinking of the secrets and it made him joyous, that were fit to be expounded before Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Afterwards, he stared at the aforementioned dreamer and saw that he suffered from depression. Someone in that state can at times have true paranormal dreams, whereupon the Kohen immediately told his attendant to remove that man and chase him away. This all came from Chaim Malasha. Okay, and there's so much more we could say about the Gra himself. So basically, we just focused on the unbelievable greatness of the Gra, whether it was himself, his knowledge, his sidkus, his chassidus, and what he was able to accomplish. All and without any, he never had a public job. He never went out, you know, in turn. Well, he did go on Gullis. We'll see, maybe we'll do a little bit more of the Gra, what his legacy is, and how we know a lot of these things. But this is mostly, we just stayed in one place, and from that one place, he was able to influence the
what
entire
world.
What were
the two things of value we got out of philosophy?
I don't know, it doesn't say here. I wish I would.
Believe
I'm sure
yourself,
you could find.
Read
sure
something else.
I'm sure we could find out, but that's what he said.
Rabbi Shapiro tells a story about his father. His father was in Vilna once. It wasn't the time of the year, and he was sitting in his room in the hotel, and he opened the window and he heard water flowing. So he said, oh, good, a golem. So he went outside and he saw the water flowing, and he davened Maariv. And then he came to the owner of the hotel and he says, I was outside there, heard the water flowing, and it reminded me that the Lavra probably said Kashlich by the water. And the head of the owner of the hotel said, the Gra never said Kashlich.
Yeah, he knew. He knew what he said and what he did.
He never said Kashlich.
Okay.
So the Rabbi Shapiro's father told him this story.
Wow. Okay. All right, thank you so much for coming. I'm probably going to do another thing on the Gra, his legacy, what we all gained from the Vilna Gaon.
Can we call up Rabbi Ayers to find out the two things about philosophy?